Almighty and eternal Father, again we enter thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. Meditate upon thy purposes as it relates to thy kingdom. To recognize the eternal destiny of thy household and thy kingdom in the earth. To know that thou art God, and whatsoever you purpose to do, you shall bring to pass. That there is no power that can destroy thy kingdom. There is no force of evil that will be able to stop thy purposes in the earth. We are thankful, our Father, for the realization that the power of spirit and the force of guidance that shall descend upon thy household shall awaken them out of their sleep. That they are in the turbulent period of human history, but we are also in the hour of great deliverance, and we are in the final scenes of these events for the struggle for the earth. We thank thee, our Father, for the assurances of thy purpose, the realization that you have wrought for us great and mighty works, have consummated inadequate atonement for thy household, and have determined also the deliverance of the earth from the powers of darkness, as thy sons and thy daughters rise to do thy will and to possess the kingdom. As we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray for this great nation. We pray for the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, and that each one of us shall recognize our responsibility in this hour to carry out the blueprint of thy instruction. So we commit ourselves in thy hand and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we ask thee. Tonight we are discussing a subject which is significant and important to each one of us because it relates to a chain of events that is much closer to us than many understand. It also requires an understanding of our relationship at this period of time to these strange forces that are at work inside our nation and upon the outside. The passages in the Scripture that particularly relate to our race and to the great nations of the Western world. We have long known that throughout the course of Scripture, prophecy has talked about a final struggle. A period of time when the powers of darkness would be throwing all their weight and all their military power, all their internal subversive force, and all those that were associated with them for an attempt to suppress God's kingdom, to swallow it up and to make it of no force or effect in the earth. Such a struggle has been named in the Scripture. The book of Revelation refers to this type of struggle as Armageddon. Now, we are well aware that Armageddon has been thought by many to be a single battle. And they want to locate it in the plains of Medico in the land of Palestine because great battles have been fought in the plains of Armageddon in the past. And because it is a natural battlefield and because of its importance significantly to the areas of Palestine. But I want you to know tonight that the Battle of Armageddon isn't localized in the plains of Medico. The Battle of Armageddon is a worldwide struggle of the powers of darkness to overthrow God's kingdom. The Battle of Armageddon has already been decided, though the actual battle has not been launched in its full tempo. For God Almighty has not only determined, as he has outlined the course of such a coming struggle, that the kingdom of God is going to win it, and it will require as many forces to be thrown into it as to accomplish this thing of the earth. For all the powers of heaven will be available for such a struggle. We have a very strange attitude taken today by a great number of clergy. They have become what we call pacifists. This kind of pacifism sometimes has a communist origin. Other times it is the product of their being uninformed and their ecclesiastical position, therefore, is somewhat erroneous. This is understandable because last week in a conference being held in Long Beach, the dean of one of the colleges in Pasadena, Dr. Copail of Pasadena Highland College, was one of the spokesmen before the educators and clergy, and he pointed out the fact that we want to warn the people of the imminent danger that has come from unscrupulous leaders which are preaching inside of the churches of a great number of our Christian congregations and denominations, and they are teaching communism and socialism and virtual atheism. And he also cited that the influence of men like this and the influences in areas of our education made today our public educational system the most deadly area of spreading communism and socialism in the world. And so under this instance, we can point out to you, it's easy to understand how communism in the churches have brought a great wave of pacifism until today, instead of a proper and prepared warning to the peoples of our nation and of the Christian nations, the church is telling many people that it's their obligation to disarm the world and to bring about peace by massive surrender into a world government program like the United Nations. Had they been aware of the content of the Scripture, or were they desirous of proclaiming what the Scripture actually teaches and those instructions which are thus saith the Lord, Instead of 1963, the message of the church being disarmament, the church should be instructing its people to bring all essential pressure on its representation in Washington and in every branch of government to see that America is adequately armed, that we're properly prepared, that we don't leave any stone unturned to make America a fortress of great power. There should never be a disarmament in this period of time. You say, why is this? Because you can't do business with the devil. And you can't negotiate with him, and you're not going to stop destiny, and you're not going to roll back Armageddon. We unfortunately have a Jewish knucklehead for Attorney General of the state of California. And this man would like to see America disarmed. This man is one of those type of pacifists who would like to advocate pacifism for us, but at the same time, he's willing to wage war on the people that are right in the United States. This deadly and terrible right wing. It was only a matter of 2 weeks ago that they were holding under a Jewish labor conference assembly in the Ambassador Hotel convention to find out how to handle extremism, as they said, in California. And extremism in California with the John Birch Society, all the right-wingers, all the Christian nationalists, all the patriots, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately that he understood it so well, Mr. Moss said this includes Christians, Protestants, fundamentalists. These people make up a dangerous right-wing, and he says one of the most dangerous things is they have an idea that communism is a devil's politics, that it's a devil's social order, and therefore it must be resisted because they're Christian and they're against it. Well, I would like to know what Mr. Moss would like to have us do about communism. Would he like to have us embrace it? In this instance, he said, therefore, that this terrible extreme group and these influences were hurting the hopes of America to bring about a coexistent order of peace and tranquility in the world. If, he says, the administration tries to make peace with Russia, then all the right wing and all these Christians with their devil's theory say these terrible people are trying to make a coexistent peace with the devil, and then they want to oppose them politically. That's a great idea. I wouldn't vote for any man that tries to make peace with the Soviet Union on the basis of surrender and submission. Of course, the Attorney General is also disturbed, he said, because they have an idea that it's the devil's politics, a devil's theory, and it's distributed by the devil's people. And he says this terrible devil's theory oversimplifies, makes it hard to handle, and he said these people may be a greater danger to America than the Communist Party. Well, it depends on whose America he's talking about. There isn't any doubt that to the people around the Kennedy administration and to the people that think like Mr. Brown and Mr. Moss that the right-wing Christian is a greater danger to him than the communists that he's palling with. This as he sees it, though I can assure you that there is a caginess about the communists that will probably be as brilliant as Genghis Khan. For eventually, when Genghis Khan came into power, he gathered up all these silly people that opened the door for them and cut their throats and said, if you'll sell out the country you live in, you'll sell me out too. So I don't think that when the communists, if they had the opportunity, actually took over, they'd give much quarter to these fellows that are doing their legwork in America today. But I point out to you that we can't take a chance upon any individual whose program and plan is to disarm the United States. We have too many of these communist Jewish advisors around the President of the United States. We have the Jew, Mr. Rutgers, who's on the board of the program of the Agency for Disarmament and is the Assistant Secretary of State to disarm America. Can you think of any assignment more deadly to the security of the United States than to be on a board to disarm the United States? Someone said this is the only way we're going to have peace. In fact, I looked at a piece of religious literature that has already passed through the approval of a group of soft-minded men inside of this denomination, and they said, how can we have peace unless we disarm the world? I was rather interested in the Israel Ally State's position. Israel Ally in the newspapers yesterday said that they were getting a lot of mealy-mouthed answers concerning the making of Israel Ally secure, and many of their problems arise from the fact that the Arab states are arming at great rates. And so the suggestion is coming from a lot of pro-Jewish operators from the Congress and the Senate that we try to put an embargo down on sending arms into the Middle East. They said this isn't enough because we don't want an embargo just on arms to them. We want a whole world massive disarmament program under the United Nations, and then it would be impossible for they or anyone else to get arms to hurt us. Well, it's a rather interesting note that this is the United Nations propaganda strategy. And someone said, you think they're going to disarm the world? No, my friends, they're not going to accomplish a disarmament of the world. The attempt is actually to disarm you. The devil's forces do not intend to disarm. They only want to trap you so that they can mount a mighty assault with great speed against you. I had one portion of the doctor's wish. We've already gone so far down this route, it'll be quite impossible to get sufficient arms in time. Every time we get a major project, he said it's altered or changed, and before we get enough of anything, like B-70s or anything else, why, we cancel it out and turn to something else, and there's not enough security, and there's not enough material, and there's not enough of the weapon systems developed to protect us against major communist assault. And so, therefore, he says it looks like a black outlook, and if we were to lock horns with the Soviet Union, we'd be defeated. I want to tell you something else tonight. If we were to lock horns with the Soviet Union tomorrow, what blow we couldn't deliver the armies of heaven will. I think it's a rather significant thing that if you and I were to turn toward instructions in this hour, as we mentioned the other evening to the prophet Joel, in an hour when they're trying to disarm us, Joel talks about this great and mighty struggle. He talks about these northern armies that come down over the top, just exactly as in the book of Ezekiel, the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, it tells us they mound up like a storm and they come over the top and down against the nations of God's kingdom. These United States of America and the great Christian nations of the Western world are all south of the pole. They're all on a portion of the earth which the Soviet Union in attack would come down over the top. And in this instance, the air power, as well as the other areas of it, would basically make their launching attack against the nations of the Western world. We are well told in the book of Ezekiel that this is a part of their strategy. The Soviet Union have just produced a book called Military Strategy. For about 2 years, they've been running on this book. They've been using it in their naval academies. They've been using it in their military installations. And your Secret Service has possession of it. And it took the United States News 3 weeks ago to publish the contents for the first time of this volume of strategy. While mealy-mouthed leadership in our nation is telling us that they're really working out a program of peace and that we're moving closer to a settlement to these crisis conditions, the Soviet Union is talking about how they will agree with us, how they'll work for disarmament, how they'll talk peace, how they'll continually say that we're breaking up peace conferences by not submitting fast enough, and they'll even enter into a participation of transferring some weapons to the hands of the United Nations. Now, when they feel that we are sufficiently have disarmed ourselves and are not ready, they're going to strike suddenly for annihilation against major cities, and their number one blow, according to their strategy, is that they're going to blow the United States Navy out of the sea as they are continually overflying it with long-range bombers, keeping it under constant observation. I have in my files a whole file now on facts and reports that have come in from naval reports, from observers, from aircraft, and those that have been watching it. For the last year, we are having our fleet continually overflown by large bombers of the B-70 type, only for Soviet Russia, which are flying over our Navy at all times. It is the opinion of the Soviet Union that for a world conquest, which they are determined to have, and they hope the whole world will surrender and submit after they have knocked out the heart center of opposition. This heart center of opposition is the political heart of the geopolitical heart of opposition to the communist world. Now, the word geopolitics has fallen into disrepute since they used to teach it in German universities, and after the war, they didn't want any geopolitics taught in any of the colleges of the world. This is quite obvious because they didn't want any intelligent relationship between man and the earth and the areas of defense understood by the average student today. But, my friend, Soviet Russia teaches geopolitics. The geopolitical heart of the world, in opposition to them, is the United States. Even though they should compliment themselves on the present administration in Washington and the kind of advisors we have that are actually sabotaging America and couldn't work more effectively on Mr. Khrushchev's team if they belonged to the Communist Party. Now, we point this out to you tonight, that the majority of citizens of these United States are anti-communist. In fact, the great white Christian majority that make up your society are opposed to any agreement with the Soviet Union that would weaken American armament. They're tired of appeasement. The man on the street, the merchant, the professional man, the doctor, the teacher, the people you meet, they're so dissatisfied and disgusted with our attitude towards communism, towards Castro, Cuba, and towards these situations that if Mr. Kennedy had to be elected tomorrow, my friends, he couldn't make it. Well, you may say, yes, the incumbent president always can roll in. I said if you had election tomorrow, he couldn't make it. But they ran something that was real sad on the other side. We've had a record of running some sad candidates, this we'll have to admit. But the fact remains that at this individual moment, there is no one, unless they're utterly naive, that does not know that the President of the United States has made more firm the operation of communism in the Western Hemisphere by protecting Castro's Cuba instead of blasting it out of the sea. In fact, his agreements with the Antichrist when he met with the Khrushchev forces were quite obviously one of security, and as though we needed to grovel and to promise Russia that if it would move its bombs and its rockets and its missiles, we would guarantee that no one would break up communism or invade Mr. Castro's Cuba. He shouldn't speak for America. He's not speaking for me. My friends, this was an agreement with hell. Now, I think it'd be a matter of interest for you to know that he didn't get anywhere with that arrangement anyhow. In the first place, Fulton Lewis Jr. had the courage to come out in one of the analyzations of this, and we have referred to this over the last few months. Information in our possession. In fact, we had one complete blueprint by one of the top Cuban experts and a man who not only outlined where the missiles were, but they were never moved at all. They just shuffled them a little bit. Now, in May 3rd, so you see how fresh this is, Fulton Lewis Jr. Has the material, and he said the immediate range ballistic missiles of the range of 600 to 700 miles are stationed throughout Cuba. There isn't even any question about that. The administration admits that there's a vast number of these, and there is evidence that they've been bringing them in ever since the supposed missile withdrawal, 600 to 700 mile missiles, which will hit, of course, the soft underside of the United States. Now, the charge is also backed by American intelligence in Cuba, that the volume of information from our Central Intelligence Agency broadcasting the story, even over WGBS in Miami, stated that we have first-hand knowledge that the Soviet Russia has equipment there. They have at least 1,000 two-stage 45-foot rockets with tremendous range. The Soviet have cleaned out and reinforced and ventilated 50 huge natural caves in one of the provinces, which is named here, and he's planning on using them as military depots. And their tanks, rockets, and planes. Submarine pens have been built under the guise of fishing ports all over from Mariel near Havana to Baines and Oriente Bay. And that the service has estimated that there are 50 Russian submarines operating out of this one port in Cuba. High-speed vessels, about 150-foot long, for the last 30 days, have been seen with no flags, running small arms and saboteurs to Haiti, Guatemala, Venezuela, Chile, Peru, and Argentina. Regular scheduled shipments, and these small boats are coming and going, and they are running, actually, a gauntlet for the Soviet Union, transferring arms and equipment all over South America, but basically in the Caribbean, to and from Cuba. More than this, the Soviets did not remove their bombers. This was another one of those fast boats, for there are many long-range missiles and bombers, some of them 70-foot long with warheads, that are still in location. More than this, a telephone conversation to one of the people on the spot brought to Mr. Kennedy's statement that it was perfectly misleading to say that it was an actual withdrawal of these troops from Cuba. A count as of Secret Service reports concerning troops show that there are more troops now in Cuba than has ever been admitted by the president or the informers during the entire crisis. So when we talk about these situations, Mr. Phillips that was reporting to Fulton Lewis Jr., and Fulton Lewis Jr. said that in the Soviet troops in Cuba number about 30,000. It's impossible to know exactly how many there are also in plain clothes. These are those that are in open uniform. That they have not only a full training center and operation going on, but they are dispatching troops on these small, fast torpedo boats and also fast, small, destroyer-like vessels all the time throughout the Caribbean to other islands. So you have a little picture of a continual war program, and the Soviet Union, in their military strategy, said one of the most important beachheads in the Western Hemisphere is Cuba. We shall not relax. We shall build this up and use this to launch a sudden and surprise assault against any of our enemies and into heart center America. Now, Mr. Kennedy permitted the sabotage of the liberation invasion, the Bay of Pigs, and now wages war against the very anti-Castro forces that are in America. We are now using the armed forces of the United States to track down and stop and interfere with patriots trying to take back their own country, when the policy of the United States was to train and assist these men to do that. And so now there is an accusation, and not without some reason, that is that the United States had influences that were only smoking out the true patriots so they could isolate them from doing the job. That's not your stand. That's not mine. That's not the majority of Americans. That's Kennedyism. Now, it's a rather significant thing that they're trying to downgrade all those that would overthrow Castro in Cuba. That's like they're trying to downgrade patriots in the United States. I noticed that even caricatures, the Los Angeles Times, they showed the Cuban exiles, and the Cuban exiles were now plotting against Kennedy. They said, we got to overthrow Kennedy first before we can get Castro. first instance, the thing that they could ever count on, the explosive passion of human nature in the areas of resistance and the designs that are being used in the South. At any moment, there can start the explosion. At any moment, there can start the problems that reach it back. I want you to know that America's best hope is awakening Christian Americans. Its best hope is their demand for proper representation. Now, I think that after looking at this strange panic that has been sweeping America of the last few months, you know who's been panicking? It's the left wing. With this panic, they have been calling names, downgrading, and trying to spear every patriot in the United States. The reason why they're doing this is because we're gaining, we're winning, we're expanding, and people are believing the truth. They can say it's not so, but they can't prove it's not so. I'd rather be wrong about how many thousand men there were in Mexico and be ready to stop 10,000 and find only 5,000. I'd rather, my friends, be wrong about being overcautious than to find ourselves doing nothing when suddenly we were hit with something we couldn't defend ourselves against. Patriotism, they say, is becoming very dangerous in America. I'm very glad that Mr. Kiko had such a high percentage of mail that discouraged him from patriots. Now suppose we tell you this, that any persecution against clergymen and patriots is only going to spread and spread. And they can never stop what's already been done. You know, they've got every avenue now to try to find ways. They're trying to get you to put a number on your mail. You know that? They want to give everybody a number so that they can put the mail on it through patterns of calculators, and they can tell where mail comes from, where it goes, and keep a record that they could never keep by any other record. Because calculators need to sit down and read and sort all the addresses, but they can follow number patterns. They have a lot of strategies at various areas of control. And all of these patterns are to classify you, number you, and reduce you to a much abler people to be controlled. I'm going to tell you that one of the strange strategies that it was brought out the other day in a leading news magazine just a week ago, they plan on tattooing a number on the foot of your baby. And every baby that will be born, this number is for identification, they said, which number this child will use all its life. This number, my friends, is becoming too much like cattle and cattle when they start tattooing numbers on our children. Just remember that we have too much of this numbering principle inside of the chief system. Now some hope. The United States is the most powerful nation of the Christian nations of the world. And God Almighty is going to awaken you to clear up America and give the world Christian leadership. And I want you to know that the powers of righteousness are going to awaken and retake America with the ballot box or with any instrument God designed for them to use if tyranny seizes and presses down anymore. So instead they'll disarm America. America will never be disarmed because Americans are going to demand that their Bill of Rights be maintained. Anytime you try to take away the Bill of Rights, you're trying to create another government. We're not going to have it. I point out to you that in these United States, we are on the edge of an unusual chain of events that may be the sudden move of the enemy to see your salvation. Someone said election. There might not be another election, but there is going to be a great deliverance. We're in one of the most unusual periods in the history of our nation. We're going to see the war clouds will fall. We're going to find that perimeter brush fire wars that can break into big ones and start at any time. I happened to have one clipping out of a newspaper suppressed when the news came down around them and this had to be mailed to me. Story of what happened. Naval experts and authorities testifying that they believed a Soviet submarine sank the Thrasher. Tell why they believe it. Tell about seeing the tail of the Soviet submarine. Tell about the signals they heard. Tell about the explosion. Then tell the story, which was they tried to bottle up to keep you from finding out with any of the papers. The Soviet Russia has submarine tunnels and bases just off of the east coast of the United States, right near the deepest part of the ocean floor on high mountain ranges underwater, in which these tunnels are their bases that they use. And we found out that they've got submarine bases just off our coastline, and the Thrasher was too close to one of these bases, and they sunk it. Someone says you can't prove it. No, I don't have to prove it. I can just tell you that this is what one of our naval officers testified to, and these are some of the facts that others try to support. But he said, I'm not allowed to tell you the rest of the story because I'm under orders that I can't say anymore. Yes, there's no doubt in my mind that Soviet Russia is running submarines all around us. I know they've been running them in the Caribbean. I've looked at submarines in the Caribbean, Soviet submarines. I've looked at long runs of motion pictures made by Patriots of Soviet submarines in the Caribbean. They're based there right now. The United States Navy were given the orders and instructions to sink every Soviet submarine in the Caribbean. My friends, we'd be on the way to protecting ourselves from another one of those surprise type of attacks that would spell, if you see, maybe more dangerous than Pearl Harbor. Remember, Soviet Russia says, Act number one, the complete sinking of the United States Navy. And I have evidence in my file today that the Soviet Union could blow the United States fleet out of the ocean if they pulled the triggers on all of the bomb loads they're carrying over the ships of your Navy at this very moment. The other day, one of the very agitated thinkos said the right wingers would advocate a bombing assault against the Soviet Union. The right wingers would throw the world into war. The right wingers would destroy whole cities. Let's not get stopped. The administration of Mr. Truman never lost any sleep when they ordered the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Let's not suddenly start to sob over destroying the vital potential of an enemy that plans on destroying us and ruling the world and says they're going to do it. If you wait for them to blast half of America off the earth and then hope you can retaliate, you're a mighty fool. Because I'm going to tell you, before you get through, you're going to turn the cities of Asia that rule their hour with the Antichrist, according to prophet Ezra, off the face of the earth. God Almighty has promised the balance of power as the stars burn over the cities of Asia and their cities turn to powder and dust for having sought to destroy the world in their attack on you. Now, the programs of God will be carried out. I want you to know tonight we have faith in God, and we know this is coming to pass. I think it's the purpose of every intelligent Christian to make his nation away, to call for leadership to respect the problems of danger, to not do business with the Antichrist, to accept the fact, yes, we're doing business when we trade with the devil and when we take his agreements. He doesn't intend to keep his. He even writes it down in the book for us to read. Someone said, this is an hour of great danger. What are you afraid of? Your children of the Most High, your Christians, you have eternal life, you'll never perish. The kingdom of God is ordained to survive. You're supposed to have enough faith, enough courage to determine that it shall, and to apply yourself to your part. I can tell you this. The pinko that said, better red than dead, doesn't have any understanding of what communism is like. But if he's a red, then it's better for you that he is dead. But for you and I, there is no price that we would not pay to remain quick. I want you to know that God Almighty has assured you of heavenly balances and promises. We're going to have more to talk about on this subject. We're going to talk upon evidences of divine assistance next Sunday night. We're going to talk to you about some of the unusual developments that are happening. Again, signs in the sky, divine assistance standing by, a new age about to be born. Is our subject for our next Sunday evening. I'll be speaking next Friday night in Blueprints of Bible Prophecy as we cover the events of this week, and a lot of events will take place in this week. Keep alert, watch what's going on, and next Friday night we'll make an analyzation of world events as they relate to biblical prophecy, and we feel that this is very vital, very significant for your understanding. Our subject next Sunday afternoon is Amazing Grace unto the peoples of the earth. This is our subject next Sunday afternoon, Amazing Grace unto the peoples of the earth, that you might understand your destiny and the vastness of God's purpose, that it does not disturb God's plan for you, and it does not change what God has said. So this is our message for next Sunday afternoon, Amazing Grace to the peoples of the earth. And then our subject next Sunday night relates to this vital pattern of divine assistance in this great and vital hour that we are in. As we receive your tithes and offerings tonight, we urge you to hold up our hands for reaching people with truth. Those of you that heard Colonel Gale last Friday night, heard him tell you that as he crossed the country and where he went, he found the most vital factor in waking people up with the tapes of the state ministry. He found in every town, in every state, and everywhere he went that the tapes were crisscrossing. And that as tapes were crisscrossing, everybody that was on the tape system knew what it was all about. They were informed. They were ready to move. They had the concept of vision and of action. Others were ready to move, but they didn't know what it was all about. And he said that he helped to spread more tapes, start more circuits. He said the most vital project that he could think of was $100,000 worth of tapes right across America as fast as it could be sent out. We urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us send out these tapes. We're moving between the 29 and 30,000 mark this week. We're moving tapes out farther and faster than ever before. And we're urging you to make money available with tithes and offerings to reach more people with this truth. Those in the tape circuit, remember, Post Office Box 911. If you send these tapes to Dr. Wesley Swift's ministry, these contributions to buy tapes are going to help reach more people as you yourselves are being reached by the tapes we send you. We urge everybody to join us in a vital drive to reach people with truth in this climactic hour. Your tape contributions that you put in go into tape processes. Those you mail in go into tape. But we feel that this is communication, and this is the vital way to get the gospel of truth in this hour to people. Don't forget XDRB 1090 on the dial every day at 9:15. The voice of truth and the voice of your congregation. We urge you in these hours of problems to recognize that God has a covenant with you. He can carry you through the patterns of economic upheaval as well as protect you in an hour of danger because he has a covenant with you. So with your tithes and offerings, you help to maintain the pattern of truth. These are the turbulent hours in which the kingdom of God is going to be triumphant, and you as participants with your tithes and your offerings and your faith and your prayers will have your part in. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bless thy blessings to rest upon this congregation. Now bless this offering, multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom. In thy name we ask thee.